Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Do Good Volunteer, Jim Turbo. Turbo is a key volunteer in our community tied to many organizations and events, mostly centered around making physical activity more accessible and fun. That includes Chassel Ski Trails, Houghton County Fair, MTU Ski Racing, Canal Run, Great Bear Chase, Chassel School Board, and that's just the start. If you know an incredible volunteer like Jim, go to dogoodcc.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Do Good in the Copper Country Volunteer of the Month.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Opened up with a good conversation with Brad Barnett from Visit Keweenaw, and one of the things we alluded to was the importance of the trail system in the Copper Country for our tourist industry here and also for our local recreation. Many of our local folks use the ATV trails in the summer, the snowmobile trails in the winter. So let's focus on those with Ryan Laporte from the Keweenaw Snowmobile Club and Mike McMahon from the Keweenaw ATV Club. Welcome to you both. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you bet.
Let's start with the first question. A lot of your trails are basically duplicated.
Correct.
How many are duplicated, and how many of them are just either ATV only in the summer or snowmobile only in the winter?
We started the main trails. Main trail segments are usually ATV and snowmobile right now, the main artery, because there's only one artery up here, basically. And again, that's why we're fighting so hard to keep the trails existent. But the DNR has come up with a designation on the ATV trails to separate them from the snowmobile trails in the summertime, and it's a lettering system now. And if you go on the DNR website, it explains that how it works and the designation. And if you get a map, if you get our ATV map or a map from the NRA or the Natural Resources, that they have that designation on there, so it keeps people honest.
Well, and keeping honest, I suppose, is one of the things that really it has to be emphasized here. And we're going to go into this a little bit more in detail, but these trails are kind of a house of cards to some extent. They're a mix of public land, private land, ownership land, easement land, and a lot of it depends on the goodwill of landowners to keep these trails open, because they're basically giving us use for, in many cases, nothing.
Yeah, the majority of the trails up here are privately owned. Snowmobile Club's maintaining about 210 miles of trail right now, with the Lakeland and Dollar Bay portion being out and the Frida Loop being out. And I think ATV Club's a little over 160 miles in total. So a good overlap, about 50 miles that does not overlap. And without our private landowners who authorize us to go use that trail system, the liability insurance, the gates that we provide as either the Snowmobile Club or the ATV Club is how we start to protect that relationship. So anytime we can ask our users, whether it's snowmobile, ATV, large 4x4s, to stay on the designated trail systems, know your trail signs, know where you're allowed to be. If you're not sure, contact local DNR office, contact the sheriff's office, contact the club. We'll help get that information to you, but know where you're going to go before you ride, because we can quickly lose key sections of trail if we're not respecting landowners' wishes and following the signage that's out there.
Yeah, all it takes is one landowner to go out and see a whole bunch of swirls around and dirt torn up or snow all over the place and say, hey, I'm not letting this happen anymore.
Right.
And you can't blame them.
No.
Not at all.
We maintain 23 permits just from Calumet to the Mohawk Keweenaw area. And again, it's the individual's request. If they request something, we've got to try and do it and try and adhere to it, what they want, and maintenance and signage and insurance. So
yeah, it's a checkerboard system. And every year, it seems like all of a sudden there's one situation or two situations where you can't use this one anymore, and then you have to redraw the whole thing.
Right.
So,
and that's a ton of effort to go find a reroute, work with neighboring landowners to move that, and then also coordinate with the DNR. So DNR has to approve that reroute and the dollars that would need to fund that trail work. So whether it's an excavator doing tree removal or material for culverts and gravel to stabilize that roadbed, those dollars have to come out of our trail user fees. So whether it's ATV trail permits or snowmobile trail permits, it's really important that our users are purchasing those, because that is what's funding that work. That's where those dollars come from to make the trail base better for the snowmobile club, that's where the two clubs have worked really well together to coordinate projects. ATV club focused on a lot of culverts, dirt work, material, fill material, grading, topping, capping, whatever word you want to use for it. And then Snowmobile Club's been real focused on the bridges. So we tend to get a little more dollars focused on that. So the coordination between the two clubs has been critical to improve the, not only improve the trail system, but grow it and sustain it.
Let's talk about how that whole process works, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who still think that this is all a DNR project. The trails are all owned by the state of Michigan, and the DNR maintains them and operates them, and it's all taken care of out of Lansing, when in fact very little of it is.
Just a brief history on that to bring people up to date. What happens is you have to get a designation. You have to plan a route, get a designation, get all the permits, get all the landowners' signatures, get the okays. You have to have a public meeting at the courthouse, usually when you introduce a new trail. It's a complicated process.
And this all is initiated locally, not through Lansing.
Right, exactly. The club has to do it.
Right.
You have to be a 501c3 nonprofit to even apply for a trail system up here. And then once you have all of that, which is a pretty big list by now, then you submit it to the DNR, and they'll either approve it or make recommendations or whatever they want to add to it. So it's a complicated process. Slow.
And then the maintenance that comes through the local clubs. It's not, you know, the DNR does not have crews that come out and do the grooming in the winter or the grading in the summer.
No.
This is all comes through you. But you do get some money from the state through that licensing system.
Right. Yes. So the annually, both clubs have to apply for what the state refers to as a grant. So you fill out your trail system that you're going to have, number of miles. There's some dollars issued for signing and brushing. You can put in for capital projects, if you want to call them that, but trail improvement projects. And then for the snowmobile club, we'll get grooming allocation. So they'll help fund, they'll pay for all the insurance. So the DNR really facilitates the program from a paperwork and a funding standpoint. It is up to the local clubs for every task to happen. So the volunteers that are on each of the boards are the ones that are out putting the bid packages together. They're working with contractors to get them awarded, getting that approved through the DNR to get those funds allocated. Even though they're approved in a grant, we still have to go through a competitive bid process. And those are all things that are happening, I'll say, kind of out of season. So snowmobile club's doing that in the summer, ATV club's doing it in the winter, preparing for that next construction season. So while it may look like, well, those clubs are only busy during their season, everything that you see happening during the season is a byproduct of the countless hours that are put in the off season. I'll be honest, I put more hours in, I think, this summer into the snowmobile club than I put in all last year during the winter months. So I'm expecting to put double the amount of hours into the overall program just based on everything that needs to happen to repair. And there's a whole board that's working behind me and behind Mike to make this stuff happen, but there's way more effort that goes in out of season than in season.
And that's why we continue to encourage people to buy those annual stickers. Yeah. There isn't technically a rule that says you have to. But
no, there is a requirement to have.
A lot of people will scofflaw.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
A lot of people will scofflaw at it because they're probably not going to get caught. Mm-hmm. But this money basically turns around and comes right back here and makes the trails possible.
Right.
So please, please do it.
If you think about it from a, you know, a grooming perspective, the state reimbursed us $5 and some odd cents a mile last year to go groom one time. So every time we went and groomed a mile, we got $5.18. So tell me, when you go do a 100-mile groom and diesel's costing you $3.50 a gallon, your $52 trail permit maybe groomed 10 miles of trail that season, one time. And we try to groom the entire trail network at least once a day across the whole system. So it adds up in a hurry when you look at the dollars versus the value that you get out of it.
Well, and grooming is not a cheap thing. As you mentioned, price of diesel is out of sight, and you're out there with the very expensive equipment.
Yeah.
Those groomers don't come cheap. And likewise with the ATVs, if you have to get you know, graders out there and such, that stuff doesn't come cheaply these days.
No, the club has a grader, and we went partners with Snowmobile on a brush hog, too, to brush the sides of the trails, which is used to be done by hand, but most of our club members are older and you don't have time for that. So anyway, we purchased that, but we have the grader.
That brush hog piece wouldn't have been possible without the help of Cork. So Keweenaw Outdoor Recreation Coalition, I believe it is. Yeah. So they actually partnered and split that cost between the three clubs. Great. So without them, that purchase wouldn't have really been mm-hmm. possible for the clubs to go have. And I tell you what, it's made a world of difference in our preparation for the winter season. So mm-hmm. we can't thank Gina and Donnie and those guys up there, a part of that, that approved that and helped mm-hmm. us, because that's a real investment in the future and the sustainment of the trails to have another piece of equipment to help maintain that year round.
Talking with Ryan Laporte from the Keweenaw Snowmobile Club and Mike McMahon from the Keweenaw ATV Club, you talked about the grooming and being out there on a daily basis and the brush hogging and the work. Who does all that?
Volunteers. Both clubs are volunteers. Nobody gets paid. So whatever time I put in here and in the last 27 years or 28 years, it's a volunteer thing. You don't get paid for anything. It has to be. That's part of the requirement so that to carry your 501c3 and get these grants, you have to be a nonprofit and a volunteer club. So that's all part of it.
Here's the loaded question. Do you need more help?
Absolutely.
We always need more help.
Yeah. It's never ending.
How do people get involved while we've got this at the top of the bubble here? How do people get involved with your various clubs?
So there's two ways to get involved with the Snowmobile Club. So I will say, you know, ATV Club does operate 100% volunteer. We do pay our groomer operators to be out in the seat just because of the length of runs and getting enough volunteers to fill 4 to 5 machines running 2 runs a day. We have struggled to get full volunteers for that.
That's a heck of a commitment.
It is. And it's not like we're paying big bucks.
Yeah, and I would suggest that your commitment is probably a more serious commitment than the ATV Club commitment, because your trails can probably go a few days or maybe weeks without attention, and the snowmobile trails daily, you said.
It's a 24/7 operation once we get enough snow to start operating. I mean, phone calls at 3 a.m. happen regularly amongst the trail boss, the mechanic, and the president. If we've got an issue, safety concern, equipment concern, what are we going to do to keep everybody safe, both from a trail user standpoint and from an operator standpoint and equipment standpoint? So the other way to get involved is contact either club. Both clubs have an active Facebook page. Can email both if you go to either KeweenawSnowmobileClub.com, KeweenawATVClub.com, I believe, is the mm-hmm. website. There's volunteer opportunities on there to reach out. Phone numbers for board members are on there and emails. We'll gladly get you involved. Both clubs put on a ton of events throughout their seasons. I'll forward you a list of our kind of poster of events for the Snowmobile Club over the next years.
We've promoted a lot of those events over the years on our calendar and such. So I do know that being involved with these clubs is not nose to the grindstone work all the time. There are a lot of fun activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, you know, having volunteers at those to meet and greet, come ask questions, stop by the groomer barn if you see somebody there. Usually the guys are more than willing to fill you in on what's going on, and you can see what you're interested in helping with. So it can be as little as I want to help with one event, or I want to help regularly, or I want to get on the board. So we're always looking for how we can get people involved at whatever commitment level they're looking for. ATV Club does a really great job of divvying up signing and brushing, Mike. I don't know if you want to talk about kind of that process.
Yeah, we get that's part of the package that you get when you say you were a private landowner and we made a request to you. What we have to give you is there's a coverage, there's an insurance, there's a liability, and then the state carries a liability. But there's a hold harmless clause also when you're recreating on property in the state of Michigan. So it means that you can't be held.
So if I let you cross my land, I don't have to worry about being sued.
Exactly. If you charge for your crossing or your section of land, then you become liable. So that's part of the incentive, is just to let them go. But that's part of it. But then you have signage, insurance, maintenance, culverts, graveling, and that's all part of the package that that we do afford to the landowner, just to keep the trails in good shape. And it's a long process. It's a hard process because of the funding yearly. Usually you need $300,000 when you get $100,000.
Yeah.
So it's always behind.
Well, and we've seen the length of time that this can take. Right. Since the Father's Day flood, mm-hmm. we sustained significant damage to the snowmobile trails, to the ATV trails. Most of them are back in shape now. I see Hancock City Council was talking the other night about they're kind of getting wrapped up finally on the Mastohedo Trail's damage. We are getting towards the point where we're going to have the elephant in the room addressed. That is the trail from Ripley to Lake Linden. The DNR set out bids. They offered up bids just within the past few days for that, and hopefully work to be done next summer.
Right. It's going to start to... I just got a thing from the DNR here, and it's a, I'll just read it to you. It's a DNR advertised bid for trail restoration work in Houghton County. The Department of Natural Resources recently advertised for bids to begin the much-anticipated work on the snowmobile trail, UP number 3 between Dollar Bay and Lake Linden. The trail was severely damaged during the Father's Day flood of June 2018. In all, six bid packages were advertised with an overall project total of 176 work sites that were washed out. Work will begin in 2023 in the spring and is expected to be finalized in 2023, the fall, for the reopening of the trail for the snowmobile season. Matt Torino, who's from the DNR Land and Easement Analyst with the DNR Parks and Rec Division, he controls this, so this is from him. The Dollar Bay to Lake Linden Trail is important to the local recreation economy in those communities, Houghton County and the wider Keweenaw. The reconstruction work is being funded by several sources, including the American Recovery Plan Act, Michigan Economic Development Corporation grants from the State General Fund, and federal funding from the Land and Water Conservation Fund. And we fought for these things. We, as a, just a little history on it, again, you have to have the designation of the trail, and we, the ATV Club, got that trail designated many years ago. I can't remember the exact date.
Because it seems to me, as I recall, there was talk about abandoning it.
Exactly.
That the state was going to say, "Hey, we don't need it. We don't need it. We're not going to support it." And that did not go over well locally.
No. If it was not for the ATV Club board and the effort that they put in to get Greg and Ed up here to come see it and the delegation of lawmakers, I do believe the trail would have been abandoned. So I can't thank that team enough for the level of hours that they've put in helping everybody understand the impact to the organization and what it would do to both clubs. So,
but the fact that it has taken 5 years almost now to get here, right, it will be more than 5 years before it's reopened, really speaks to how difficult and challenging this all is. I mean, people, I think, have a tendency to think that, okay, a little path through the woods, no problem. It's a lot more than that. You know, all those gullies, there have to be bridges, there have to be appropriate fill, there has to be appropriate culverts, and people have to let this happen on their land.
Yeah, that was one of the most dangerous sections. Up here, usually on our trail system, because of the watershed, the way it works, coming from Calumet and trying to get down to the lake. So, and it had the most culverts in it, most crossings, water crossings, small culverts, big culverts, bridges. So that was a disaster. Probably going to happen sooner or later. Well, it happened, so.
Yeah. Anyway. Is there a silver lining to it? Will the trail be more stable now than it was before?
My perception is that it definitely will be, because of the, it was maintained by the mining companies back then, and they had to have a flat grade for the trains and stuff like that. We don't have to anymore. It's just up and down. So what Mother Nature took out, we don't have enough dirt to put back in there. So anyway, the trail system will be hillier.
Probably more interesting for riders that
exactly,
way.
Exactly. And my assumption is that the culverts and the small bridges that they may put in there, whatever they're going to do, are only going to have a few feet of fill, not 100 feet of fill.
So, I think there's 136, I think was the number that I heard thrown around, restoration sites that they have to do some kind of water flow underneath of. So, I mean, it's certainly no small undertaking. And I think the approach that Matt and the DNR team has put together and six different bid packages. It's a staggered award, so it's going to let, you know, not just one large company come take it all. Everybody can bid on all six sections and then can withdraw bids or add bids based on what they're awarded within their capability. So it should really help to impact some of our local contractors that can take on a portion of it, but maybe not the whole thing. So really excited about the approach to
get
the dollars.
That's a great point, because if this was going to be all one thing, they'd be bringing in a contractor from somewhere downstate or Wisconsin or Minnesota with a whole bunch of equipment. And if they can break that down into smaller sections, our local folks can bid on it, and that's a good thing.
Just a comment on this too, that You were speaking to the fact that the DNR wanted to abandon this trail. They call it naturalization, and we didn't want that. Right from the beginning when this flood happened, the ATV Club wrote a letter to the DNR expressly with that concern that they were going to abandon the trail because of the cost to it. We kind of figured that might happen. So we addressed it right away and got a hold of the local people. They started a letter writing campaign and everything. The local businesses and everybody was on board with it. Kevin Storr helped us with it tremendously. He was like a coordinator between the DNR and the people and a spot for the letters to go to and keep track of everything. So he was great on that. Everybody kicked in. The Houghton bunch kicked in, Keweenaw bunch kicked in, Lake Linden. Everybody was part of it. But as you say, 5 years goes by, everybody starts to lose interest, but we never did. We kept at it.
Oh, man, good for you and good for all the people who helped support that.
You know, Greg Markinen and Mr. McBroom, too, they brought up the heads that be, the senators or whatever they were.
Yeah, I've talked with both of them about this over the past 5 years, and I know their concern and their interest in it as well. Let's shift to another big item that's happening. There has been a huge purchase of land in Keweenaw County that is going to basically become public land and open to some types of trail activities. Yep. What read are you getting from the organizations that are going to be controlling this as to what options we might have for snowmobiles and ATVs there?
So we met with the Nature Conservancy separately, actually last Friday, Emily Chegg.
Clegg,
sorry. And really excited about the opportunity. So their vision for maintaining things the way they are, we've already put trail agreements and users agreements in place. We've already got insurance agreed and them onto our snowmobile trail network and paperwork that we need to do. So they've been really highly engaged, working very quickly to get this transitioned and to sustain what we're doing. So possibilities of working together on some trail improvement projects and stuff that we're starting to talk about. So I'm really excited for the future, what that brings to the stability of the trail system. We touched a little bit earlier on the private landowner piece.
Yeah.
This was a huge concern for both of our clubs on what this could do to the trail system. So knowing that we've got a new steward of the land that is really looking forward to maintaining this access and working together for the future and laying a really strong foundation of that from the start gives me a lot of hope that, you know, the trail system is open, is going to remain open, and that we're going to be a good partner for a long time to come.
There were existing trails on this land up before this point.
Right. Yeah.
And so they will be maintained. Is there the prospect that there might be new trails put in?
Yes, there is. There's a... We approached this Emily Clegg. She's from Marquette, and she works for the Conservancy. Anyway, she runs the Michigan pretty much, and I think she's water and land controller anyway. She was real positive with everything, and we had submitted some of the trails that were under review. Because when the other land company owned it, you have to start the process again.
Sure.
5 years, 6 years before. So I gave her some of the paperwork on one of the trails up there, and she was more than happy. She said there's a bridge involved, so it's an expensive trail to open up. But she was more than happy to help us with it and kind of excited about it too. So that was a pleasant surprise to us, you know, that the Conservancy is that willing to work with us.
And for me too, because I know that some of these organizations, they prefer quiet.
Right.
They want silent sports, but they don't necessarily want motorized sports, which would be, of course, ATVs in the summer, snowmobiles in the winter. And one of my concerns when I read about that was, I hope that they're able to keep these motorized trails open, and it certainly sounds like they're willing to do that.
This was a combination of, I'm on that committee also with the Keweenaw committee, I call it, but it was the Cork that initiated this. And what they did is they got all the clubs together, the ATV, the snowmobile, the Trails Club in Copper Harbor.
The Sportsman's Club.
Yes. And then they went to the local entities, all the townships and everything. So it was well coordinated. And the Conservancy kept telling us that they went to the Conservancy because of the money end of it. We don't have that type of... Anyway, so they came through because it fit their criteria. But one of the comments that they made is that they were surprised that everybody's on board with the whatever group they talked to, everybody's on board with it, because we knew we were going to lose our trail system up in Keweenaw, not only trail system but quiet areas and stuff like that, because it would have went private.
Yeah, and I remember when they put that effort together, started putting that effort together a few years ago. That was the stated goal,
right.
Was that there's going to come a time when we're going to have to present a unified face and a coordinated effort.
Right.
And boy, did that pay off, not only in this case, but also, I'm sure, in regards to the repairs from the Father's Day flood, to have an organization here that really kind of could speak with one voice and push things along and make things happen. So again, if you would like to help with the trails, help is needed. You can get a hold of either the Keweenaw Snowmobile Club or the Keweenaw ATV Club. Go to their websites, go to their Facebook pages, and you'll find contact information there. Get involved. You'll have a good time and also do a good thing. And Ryan Laporte and Mike McMahon, thank you so much for both coming in for Copper Country today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you bet. It helps us out great. Thank you.